He had a position. He had about everything that he needed. But there's one thing he lacked, and that was salvation. And we find out that a lot of people today, if you examine yourself by the Word of God, you find a lot of people today across our nation. It has affected our world, our nation, our city, our churches, and our home with superficial Christianity. And that means it's just not the real thing. We're in a day of easy believism. You say a few words, and you say that I'm saved. You don't have to worry about repentance. That's a word that's past. Don't talk about repentance, but I tell you, if you don't have repentance, you don't have salvation. And it's easy believism today. So we're going to look and examine ourselves across America today. There are many churches today. They're having churches today. But as I say, there's a superficial Christianity. And that's plaguing our country and it's plaguing our churches and our home today. Thank the Lord for Pleasant Hill and Wednesday and Sunday, the people that comes. But there are a lot of churches today. It has a lot of pews. It's full of people, but they're empty on the inside. So in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, we'd like to examine ourselves. Because you see, we're going to talk about the soul. The soul. Now, your soul is the most precious thing and most valuable thing in the world. Did y'all understand that? My soul is the most precious and the most valuable thing in the world. Not just to me, but to God. Your soul is very, very precious today. He almost had it all. He took a choice. Many of us are chewed. Now, that's what Bible preaching does for you, if it's Bible preaching. It causes you to make a choice, to choose. You come in this building this morning, and you're going to have to make a choice. You say, no, I won't make a choice. Well, you already made a choice. You have chose not to choose, but you're going to make a choice this morning. You're going to choose Jesus Christ, or you're going to choose this world. You're going to choose heaven, or you're going to choose hell. You're going to choose to live and worship Jesus Christ in the way that you should, or you're going to choose not to. But you're going to choose, as this young man, he chose. And he almost had it all. But his choice was suicide of the soul. And I certainly believe that I have preached sermons and people had said no to Jesus Christ under my preaching and other people's preaching. And when they said no, as this young man did, he went out into eternity lost forever. Because you see, you don't decide that you're going to be saved. When the Spirit of God was drawing you, that's the only time that you can be saved. And I'm certainly satisfied that many people have said no to Jesus Christ. When they left out of that building, they went out into eternity because the Spirit of God had never dwelled with them no more. We don't know who that will be. That's God's business and not mine. But the day we'll make a choice. As we look at this, there's the golden bricks of a sure foundation. If anything that we need in today, we need to understand what is genuine. You know, on the news, we hear so much about the garbage on the news. You don't know what to believe anymore. But I tell you what, you need to believe the Word of God. And you need to believe what God says about your salvation. And you need to know about your salvation. Not just a hope-so, but you need to have a reality through the Word of God that you know. Not only you, but your family. And look at this young man. There's a lot of people that have lived their life and pitched their life after this young man. Had a lot of things going for him, but he was lost. A lot of church members today, they are church members only. They have their name on church rolls today, but they do not have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the difference, no matter whether you're a Baptist or Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever it might be. Your name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Many, many people today have not made this choice. You have to choose. So it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, asking him, and this is the young man that I'm talking about, good master, talking to Jesus, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and the mother. And he answered Jesus, and he said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Remember now, he loved him. Jesus loved this man. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grievous, for he had great possessions. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for this great, great privilege on this side of eternity, Father, that we might be able to make a choice for you today. Father, we just pray today that someone will make a choice for you of salvation. Father, we just pray that they make a choice, Lord, that they're going to worship you better than they have ever worshipped you before. Father, we just pray they make a choice, Lord, they might throw their old gods of this old world down and understand they're just one true and living God. Father, we just pray the choices, Lord, that be made today, of every choice made here this day, be made, Father, in your honor and your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you give us this opportunity that we might come face to face to a reality and make the choice, Lord, that's going to affect us, not just this year, not just next year, but the choice that will affect us throughout all eternity. God, thank you, Jesus, that we're on this side of eternity and we still have the choices to make. So, Jesus, we just pray, God, that you might help each and every person that makes these choices. Father, that one has never accepted you. That one might see themselves as this young man running to Jesus Christ and giving up everything for the Lord that he may have eternal life. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for the blessings and for blessing those that have been on our prayer list and returned back home and that have helped the Lord so much. And for those that's going into the hospital and for test procedures, Lord, we just pray for each one of them. Thank you, Lord, for this church, O God, and for all the blessings, Lord, that you give us each day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. Examine now and see if you have the real genuine salvation. The Bible says those have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In the end of time, we know that people, they say they know that there's a form of godliness. They really believe, and a lot of people fill churches today, and they believe there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I know whenever I was a small child, I had the smallpox vaccination. A lot of you had probably the same thing. I think they quit giving that to children at this time. But I had a smallpox vaccination. Now, they injected me with a dead serum that I never did catch the real disease. Well, I tell you, that's exactly what happened to a lot of people today. They have today been injected with a mild form of what they want to call Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. And it's just religious, and they have not caught the real disease of Christianity. Just a mild form of a dead form of Christianity, as you want to call it today. It was not genuine. And what it is, they're just limited to the surface, and their only concern now is with the surface of understanding. They're not very careful. They'll be missed the whole thing. As we look at this now this morning and we see this to understanding, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 tells us that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have I not cast out demons or devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's going to be a group of people, they're going to be people that Jesus Christ is going to say that to. I never knew you. It may be the time whenever you're taking your last breath and you're not saved. You've done a lot of good things. You've been a member of a church for long years. But you have not served Jesus Christ. You have not worshiped Jesus Christ. You've done things in the name of Jesus Christ. You may have give stuff from time to time, but you have never made that step to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You knew about him all your life, but you never made that. Jesus was what Jesus Christ is going to say to those people at that time. I had never knew you. Examine now and see if you have this genuine Christianity. Now, you see, it comes the same thing about those four types of seeds that were sowed on the soil. Remember, there's four types of seed that were sowed in Matthew 13. One was fell by the wayside, and you know, they didn't have any depth, they had no understanding, didn't have no depth, and pretty soon it just passed away. They hear about the Word of God, they have no depth, has nothing to cause them to want to come and worship, have nothing in the heart that calls them to love the things of God and the people of God and the Word of God, have nothing to cause them, and they just fall away. And then the second way, you know, it is those that fell on stony places and didn't have no root. Before long, it just withered away. They had no root, no desire, they had no root to come and to worship God, what God says for him to do in his word. And then we had a third one, you know, the thorns. And it says the cares of this world. They got so many cares of this world, they have no time for the things of God. As I said, the cares of their own world. All the pleasure, all the money, all the business. Just something just called them to pull them away from the word of God. And then there's one that said it fell on good ground. Matthew 13 and 23 said it fell on good ground. And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The rich young ruler today, as we look at him, we see many, many today across our land today have the same thing. This love, he said, you know, he knew that God had loved him. He said that he had loved him. But we see today, many, many have the same qualifications that this man had. Many today have the same qualification, but he was lost, understand. He was lost. He had a lot of good qualifications, but he was lost. He would have been a good church member. Any member, any church, anywhere will be glad to receive this man down this aisle. He had these five ingredients I'd like to speak to you about before we get into the ingredients, the foundation that you need to understand for your soul. First thing we find about this man, that he was a very eager man. He was very eager. He said he came running to Jesus Christ. I mean, he was very eager now. Run to Jesus Christ, and he was a young man. He was very enthused about Jesus Christ and hearing what Jesus Christ had to say. You know, we need to help our young people. He was a young man. He came when he was young, so we need to help our young kid. But this man, he was very enthused. He was eager to come and hear what Jesus Christ had to say. But not only that, he was a humble man. He was a humble man because he said he came and he bowed before Jesus. He was humble. He didn't mind. He run down this aisle. He bowed his knee here. He didn't mind it. He came and he bowed before Jesus Christ. He was a humble man. He was rich, a high position that he had, very successful. He was young, but he kneeled before the Galilean and was a carpenter. He was willing to do that. The third thing, you know, he had discernment. He had discernment. What was that? He called Jesus Christ the good master. He discerned that Jesus Christ was different and he needed to respect him. There was something different about Jesus Christ. He had that discernment. But not only that, the fourth thing, he was very interested in some spiritual things. He was interested in some spiritual things. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He needed some fire insurance. He was something he needed to do, some fire insurance. People today, you know, they're not really interested in worshiping and serving Jesus Christ. They say, well, you know, I just want to be saved for the future. Don't worry about serving Jesus Christ. It don't work that way. But five things I want to call your attention to, that he was a good, moral, clean person. How do you mean that? Well, it says, now all these have I observed from my youth up. He had kept these commandments, he said, from his youth up. Now, compare his life now with people today on church roads across our nation, in leadership now, incredible young man, the man that he was. Now, all five of these things, I think about this man. Now, he was a very good man. He was eager. I'm going to tell you what, he was humble. He had discernment. I'm going to tell you, he was interested in spiritual things. He was morally clean. Now, he would make a good church member at anybody's church, no matter where it would be. I mean, that would be a good man. But you see, there was one thing missing. He was lost. He came down. If he come down the aisle, I'm sure that any church would be glad to accept him. But Jesus Christ did not receive this man. Jesus Christ did not receive this person. Just because they said this and they done this, they done that, Jesus Christ did not receive. Have Jesus Christ not received a lot of people today? It was sad ending now, because many today have this same thing. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. Many today have heard the genuine Christianity preached, and they have went away sorrowful. He didn't want it because it caused him to have a challenge and commitment in his life. Many today do not want the real Christianity, but it calls for a challenge upon your life, and without your life, it'll never be the same when you get saved. It calls for a challenge. People do not want a challenge. They do not want this commitment. They don't want to have to know that they need to be at the house of God. They don't want to serve Jesus Christ. They don't want to worship Jesus Christ. They want to live their life like they want to. But I'm going to tell you, that is not Christianity. That is the same thing that this man had here this hour. No salvation at all. Verse 17, it says now, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? How can I go to heaven, is what he is asking. How can I go to heaven? Well, you know, really, there's three ways you can go to heaven. Somebody said, well, ain't but one. No, there's three ways you can go to heaven. Well, what are those three ways? One way is you can die before you reach the age of accountability. Y'all know that? All children go to heaven. They don't have to be saved. They're safe already. Well, that's one way you can go to heaven. Another way you can go to heaven is live up to all the laws of God and never break the first one. Live up to all the laws of God and never break the first one. In other words, be perfect. Now, who can do that? Now, if you could do that, you could go to heaven because you'd be Jesus. But then there's the third way, and that's accepting Jesus Christ. So I got your attention, did I not? I got your attention, accepting Jesus Christ. Now let's move into these golden bricks of a sure foundation. And look at all these qualifications that this young man had, but he was lost. Man, you can put your finger on a lot of people today. He had all these qualifications, but he was a lost man going out into eternity, lost. I'm telling you, all these, the power, everything that he had, these things he had gave him power. He could do everything, go anywhere in the world, but I'm going to tell you what, it would not open up the gates of heaven for him with all these he had. There was something missing. And something missing with these four ingredients that misses today that people do not have is on church rolls. Do not worship Jesus Christ. They come put their name on church rolls, and that's about all. And I'm telling you, there's four ingredients here that's missing, and without these four ingredients, they are not saved. Understand, they are not saved. They can have the five ingredients that this young man had. He went away lost out into eternity. You must have these four ingredients to understand salvation is something that you really need. The first thing we know is you examine the foundation of the bricks is the understanding the character of God. To understand the character of God. Now, this man didn't understand the character of God. It says in Matthew 19 and 17, and he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. In the same verse of scripture I read at 18, it says, why callest me thou good? There's none good but one, that is God. The first brick of salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing who Jesus Christ is. He knew that there was a God. Now, in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, many times that you've heard this in funerals. I don't know how it worked itself into funeral, but I quote a lot of times myself whenever Jesus Christ was talking to disciples and telling them that I'm fixing to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'll come again, and where I am, you shall be there also. In those verses of scripture there, Jesus was talking about his second coming. And then these disciples, what he said to them in verse 1, you believe in God, also believe in me. Now, in that verse of scripture is what Jesus Christ is talking about this young man. Now, those disciples was Jews. They always believed in Jehovah God. From God all the way back to Abraham, when he spoke to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldeans, they know that there was a God. God chose the Jewish people, the apple of his eye, and they saw and knew their history of the great work that Jehovah God has done throughout the history of the Jewish nation. They knew that God was holy God. They knew that no man could see God. They knew God was a powerful God. They knew what God had done for them in the nation of Egypt. They knew that God had brought them out. They knew that God had this power. He was a personal God to them. Many names they had in the Old Testament. They knew about this God of heaven. This God of heaven had that power to bring them across the Red Sea. God had this power to carry them out into the wilderness for 40 years. And it says, you know what? The clothes did not wear out. The shoes did not wear out. The eyes were still just as good as it was 40 years until all of them died from 20 years old and older to come out of Egypt because of their disbelief of what God told them. They believed in God. And then all through Joshua's time, whenever God gave them the land, and all through the minor prophets, it come down to Jesus Christ's time. You see, they believed in Jehovah all the time. They believed in a God in the Jewish nation right here all the day. They believe in Jehovah God. They always have believed in Jehovah God. There's a God of heaven. He wrote his name in heaven. They believe in Jehovah God. The nation Israel, and Israel today, they believe in Jehovah God. But there's something missing. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we know all of the religions of the world, all religions of the world, they believe that there are an eternal God. You see, this takes care of the Muslims. They believe in God. This takes care of the Hindu. They believe in God. This takes care of the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness. This takes care of all the religions of the world. Separate religion of the world, you put Jesus Christ in the equation and it separates all the religion of the world. That's when Jesus Christ told his disciples, you believe in God, you've been a Jew, all through your ancestors, you believe in God. There's something different than he asked them, do you believe in me? Because there's something different. Because you say you believe in God, you don't know anybody, I doubt anybody in this building. Do you know anybody that don't believe there's a God? Do you know an atheist anywhere? I've never met one. Now, I'm sure there's some atheists. I'm sure there are people that don't believe in God, but I don't know one. Have you ever met an atheist that says, I do not believe there's a God exists? Because you see, you're born with that God consciousness, and you have to be taught that they're an atheist. There are no God. Everybody believes this. I believe there was a God for as long back as I can remember. But I'm going to tell you, believing there's a God is an intellectual knowledge. But you're not saved because of intellectual knowledge. You understand this. You believe in God. You believe in God. And your mother and father has brought you to church since you've been a child. Don't think you're saved because of that. Don't think you're saved because that you're a member of this church or any other church. Because you believe in God. That's an intellectual knowledge, and that is not salvation. This man believed the same thing. The rich young ruler believed that there was a God. He said he believed there was a God. Jesus Christ said, whenever he told his disciples, now, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know what he done? He says, now, what you got to do since you have this intellectual knowledge, then he says, you also believe in me. You got to have a personal relationship with me. You see the difference? You see, that's where it separates all religions of the world. Because the Mormons don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, so they can't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he's dead for they're concerned. He was just a good man, a good teacher. As this man called him a good master, a good teacher. And as far as the Mormons are concerned, Jesus Christ is the Son of God because everybody gets good enough to be the Son of God as a Mormon religion. And they cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he's not God. He's dead. So therefore, they cannot have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore that means they are all lost. Any Mormon that do not believe in Jesus Christ is a personal savior, they lost. And anybody that goes over into the Mormon faith, let me tell you, I'm not picking on them right now, but I'm just telling you, they will not stay in the Mormon faith because if they are saved, they are a light that keeps coming on and say, error, 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 that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. They won't stay as a Mormon. Jehovah's Witness, it don't matter what type, Hindu, it don't matter what type of religion in the world they are because what Jesus Christ said, you believe in God, intellectual knowledge, you believe also in me. And the problem of a lot of our pews today is the same thing this year at Rich Run Eula had, he said, because you say he believed in eternal God. He was a Jew all his life. He knew about this Jehovah God. He believed in God. And he knew that God loved him. It said that Jesus Christ loved this man. But what he did not make the connection is that Jesus Christ is a personal God too. It's his personal God. And he did not make this correction. That's the reason Jesus Christ said, you know, why are you calling me good? Because there's not one good God. If you can't call me God, you can't call me good. If you just call me a good master, that means I'm not God. That means I'm not good. There's only one that's good. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And many people, I'm telling you, on Baptist church roads across our nation, they have had this intellectual knowledge that they are a God from their childhood up, since they was in Sunday school all the way up, that they've been going to church all their life, and they have never come in contact with a personal Savior, because if they did, they would start serving and worshiping Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in them, and they will make a change in their life, because if there's no change, there's no salvation. Amen? This man, he made a mistake. And this mistake cost him his life. No commitment. That's one of the reasons that you will find today that many people, once they begin to hear, they come down, they get baptized, they come down, they join a church, but then you start preaching some words of God that they need to change in their life, and the Spirit of God start working them, and pretty soon out the door they go. Why? Because they do not want the commitment of coming. They do not want the commitment now of serving. They don't want the commitment now of worshiping. They want hands off of my life. And most of the time, they're not saved to start with if they have no use for Jesus Christ. So the first ingredients that you find out is you got to know the character of God. The character of God. Jesus Christ. The character of God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You understand that. Of all religions of the world, we have religious people today. All right. It says also, as we see this man, as he comes up to Jesus Christ again, good master. Man, good master, good master. Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. He's challenging him now to his thinking. Now, I'm challenging you now to thinking about Jesus Christ. Oh, you know about God. Oh, yeah, you believe about Jesus Christ. But you see, there's an intellectual knowledge that this man had also, and he was lost. What does this good mean, he says? Understand, what is this good talking about? It's talking about the wholeness and perfection of God. No one has ever been saved until they understand the goodness of God. Now, they know that God is love. Everybody, you mentioned about God, God's love. Yes, sirree, God is love. He loves everybody. Jesus Christ loveth this man, it says in the Scripture. He loves every one of us. He loves the people of the world. John 3:16, it says, you know what? Jesus Christ came and gave himself for this world, a world of people. He loves everybody. But you're not saved because Jesus Christ loves you. You're not saved because Jesus loves you. You're not saved because your mother and father loves you. You're not saved. If all we see the love of God without the wholeness of God, you're lost. When you take part of the truth and try to make it all the truth, it results in an untruth. In Exodus chapter 34, 6 and 7, it says, and the Lord passed by before him and pronounced, the Lord, the God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And then listen, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. He says he's loving, he's forgiving, but he will not clean the guilty. He will not overlook sin. There must be a sacrifice for it. He will not overlook sin. And he says, I will visit the father's children and their children and the next children right on down to the fourth generation. I'm going to tell you, there's a plague on a lot of families today because mothers and fathers, they will not bring their children to the house of God and teach them the things of God, and it's going to plague the next generation. It's going to plague the next generation. It's going to plague the next generation because of their weakness that they have of not worshiping and serving a true and a living God. Listen, people, that's not my words. That's the word of God Almighty written in his book. I'm just preaching the word of God, what he says. God's a merciful, loving God. By no means clean the guilty. God never overlooks sin. The first brick is of conviction, absolutely the holiness of God. There's none good but one, that's God. If you can't call me God, you can't call me good. Second brick, the commandments of God. God rewards honesty. God rewards honesty in verses 19 and 20, as I've done read in 19 and 20. Thou knowest the commandments, do not do this, do not do that, do this. He said, yes, you know, and that's what I've done. Oh, I've observed these from my youth up. God's a holy God, and he must have holy laws, amen? That's the reason he have holy laws and keeping these laws. Now, it says in verse 70, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? He had the idea, since he observed all these commandments, what did I need to do to have eternal life? He thought something he might be able to do and obey. But you don't do and obey for salvation, it's belief and by faith. Galatians 2 and 16 tells us in Galatians, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, it's telling us in the verse of scriptures, no one is never saved by keeping the law. Remember I said, if you want to go to heaven, keep all the laws, but nobody can keep all the laws. That God never intended for you could, if you could keep the law. If one person could keep all the laws, Jesus Christ would not have come. We cannot keep the law, but the law is essential for your salvation. Oh, well, we're living in the New Testament. Don't make no difference. God's law never changes. And I'm going to tell you, the laws of God is essential for your salvation. What do? There is a mirror to show you that you need Jesus Christ because you cannot keep the laws. It's a mirror to show you. You see, it's essential because of this mirror. You know what a mirror does? You go in there and you look at that mirror, it'll show you the dirt on your face, but that mirror cannot wash your face for you. All the mirror shows you that you need to wash your face. That's what the Word of God does in the Old Testament, in all the laws. It shows you that you got dirt on your heart, but only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash that blood away. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about. In Romans 3, 19 and 20 tells us, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Well, that's a good thing if you just got to stop people thinking they're good, thinking they're good enough to get to heaven. I'm just as good as that person that sits in that church at Pleasant Hill. That's not what God says in his word for you to prepare yourself with somebody else in a church. That's not what the word of God says. You say, well, if he's going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I can live just as good as he does. I don't have to worship God. I don't have to come out to church. I'm just as good as that man. He comes out there and that woman, they go there all the time, every time the door is open, and I'm just as good as that person. If that person goes to heaven, I'm going to heaven also. That's not a comparison that Bible says you go to compare yourself with. That's got nothing to do with it. You compare yourself with Jesus Christ, and you see where you stand. Oh, yeah, the devil say, hey, that's right. You know, you see that man on the job, you see that man in the business, he does this, he does that, yeah, and you know what he is? Yeah, yes, sirree. You just keep on believing that junk that the devil put on you. But when you see Jesus Christ and you put your life up against Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, you'll find out just exactly how black your sins really are. How black your sins really are. The law is a mirror. 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Think about this. Now as we come, rushing on time now, the conversion. 20 says, all these have I observed from my youth. He have only the surface understanding. He did not understand the action that Jesus Christ was talking about the heart. He put his heart, you know, on that skillful surgeon. And you know what old Jesus Christ done with that finger? He put his finger right on the sore spot. Verse 21. When Jesus beholding him, loved him and said unto him, he loved this man. You see, Jesus loves you. One thing thou lackest, though, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. Is it saying that every one of us, we're supposed to give up, sell everything we have and go and give it to the poor? No, that's not what he's talking about. But he knew that man there had his God in his riches. And that's the reason he told him that. You see, you might have something else. It might be your job. It might be your family. It might be your house. It might be something else for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ knows what it is, and he'll put that finger on it, whatever it might be. You just get rid of it. In Matthew chapter 22, 35 through 40, that we find out, you see, that God had all these commandments. Then he asked you, what is a great commandment? He says, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with everything that you got. The second commandment is love your brother as yourself. Now, as you see this, if the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind is the greatest commandment, you see, if you fail to do this, the greatest sin, listen to me, the greatest sin is not to love God with all your heart and all your soul. If that be what God said, and it is, do you love God that way? If you don't, that is the greatest sin. Now, one more thing, the third brick there is conversion to God. Conversion to God. One thing there lackest. He had his money, but that was his God. As we rush on down, we see that one thing there lackest. Oh, Paul says there's one thing I do. Forget about the past. I'm in the present and look for the future. If we pass on by this very quickly, now let's go to this fourth brick in a hurry here, because the fourth brick tells us now his commitment to God. Take up thy cross and follow me, it says in verse 22. Take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying and went away grievous, for, you know what, he had a great possession. He said to get rid of everything. Many today, when they hear the word of God, they make this decision. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made magnified, that they were not all of us. And then we come to that closing scene, 2,000 years ago now. This man, all right, there it is. Will you accept me? All right, here's the angel in heaven. Well, I can see him now with the pen paused, with the blood of Christ waiting, angel now, watching and see what this man's going to do. Ready to put this man's name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Waiting to write his name down with no ever way to be erased out because it's been written in blood. Waiting to record his name. Demons of hell says, now listen. Set on his shoulder and says, don't you walk down that aisle. Don't you walk down that aisle, you fool. You fool if you walk down that aisle. You think what people say about you and you want to give up all this wealth, you got it made. You walk down this aisle, you're a fool if you do that. So he makes a decision. As many times come time for an invitation as we stand, we find that people, they grip the pews until their knuckles turn plum white. They begin to shake. Their lip begin to quiver. The old devil says, you fool, you fool, you fool. Don't you go down there, you fool. And they turn and they walk away. And he said he went away sad. And that word, it said he went away sad, there's only one other time in the New Testament this Greek word is used, is whenever Jesus tried to explain a storm coming up with a lot of clouds and lightning and thunder. And this man's face clouded over what it said. The frown of his face, he clouded over because he went away. He went away saddened. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Do you know who I am? A lot of people has never met Jesus Christ because, you see, there's no fruit. You say, how do you know? Because there's no fruit. How do you know? Because there's no fruit. The Spirit of God is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit of God. And there will be fruit. It will come now with a song of invitation, Brother Orville, any way we might want to do this. These four bricks. If you don't have these four bricks, I'm going to tell you what, you're just as lost as you can be. You say, you think I'm lost? It's got nothing to do with what I think. I don't know. It ain't my business. But I tell you one thing, it's the Word of God. If you don't understand these four bricks of salvation, I'm going to tell you what, you're just as lost. You have all these five ingredients this young man had, but that don't matter. He was a lost man. And you say, well, I don't like that. Well, I tell you what, that man didn't like it either. You know what he done? He walked away sad. If you don't like it, you get up and you walk away sad. But I'm telling you what, it's the Word of God. It's up to you.